And as we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God who speaks. Would you please speak to us now? Would you speak to us in the days and weeks to come through the voice of your Holy Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I look around, and I think that most of you were here last week as we looked at the first part of learning to hear the voice of God. A really brief summary of last week is that God is a God who speaks. And he spoke in creation, and he spoke through his son Jesus, and he is speaking now by the Holy Spirit. And my conviction is that all of us as Christians can learn to hear the voice of God in our daily lives. And that's actually really important and also really joyful for us. First question, though, is how's your reception? So a little while ago, I went to a party at Aaron's place. Some of you know Aaron, kind of a housewarming party. It also happened to be the night of the first World Cup match that Australia was playing in, Australia versus France. And Erin did not have a TV antenna connected to her television. And I was very distressed that I might actually miss the game. I might not be able to see it or hear it because there was no reception. This is actually a picture of me on the roof at Erin's place on the day of the party, on the day of the match, getting the aerial connected so that we could get reception. It was getting dark, it had been raining, I was on the roof, but we did it. And when we did it, this is kind of what happened next. We were looking to see if the aerial had indeed been connected, and it went like this. Blue screen, is it gonna work? Don't know. Trepidation. And then we're going, is that the right channel? Are we tuned into the right thing? And then up comes SBS. And we can watch the game. And there's much rejoicing. So, how's your reception? If we are learning to hear the voice of God, I think it's not that God does not speak, but that sometimes we're not tuned in to his voice. That our reception might not be right, our antenna might not be connected. God is still a God who speaks to us today, but sometimes we're not necessarily listening. Our reception isn't very good. It's not that God is not speaking, it's that we are not, as I said, tuned in and receptive to his voice. One thing that I said last time, which I think is really important, is if you want to hear the voice of God, you need to be immersed in the Word of God. And that's where we begin. You know, you have to, it's really important to be reading God's word, to be listening to it, if that's the way that it works for you on MP3 or whatever, in order that we're actually tuned to the right channel, in order that we're actually picking up the signals that God is giving to us. Read or listen to scripture, meditate on scripture, dwell in the word of God. And I know that in our congregation, a number of people have found that listening to the Bible on audio, MP3 or whatever, as they drive is sometimes a really good way to do that in a really busy world. I want to talk to you briefly about the dynamics of prayer. Now, Kathy will know that some of the material that I'm presenting here today comes from the Australian Prayer Network and the School of Intercession that Yvette and Kathy and I went to. So I acknowledge my indebtedness to the Australian Prayer Network. And since I've learned some of this stuff, it's really helped me to tune in to the voice of God and to get good reception. And I can tell you that the joy and the excitement that comes along to tuning in to the voice of God is even greater than the excitement that we had when we were able to see SBS. Pity the match didn't finish quite the way that we wanted to, but that's all right. The dynamics of prayer, it goes like this, and this is on your sheet. We often think prayer, and particularly intercession, where we pray for other people, is an activity of human beings by which we get God to do our heart's desire, right? If we pray, if we do the right things, if we pray hard enough, God will change the world and do what we want. Okay? But once again, I want to flip that definition or that understanding on its head and say, biblically, prayer, and particularly intercession, is an activity of God by which God gets us to do what God wants. And I could expand that quite a bit. But if we read the book of Romans, we find that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. We find that Jesus is interceding for us. If we read the book of Revelation, we discover that Jesus is now standing beside the Father. And what is he doing? He is interceding. He is praying and pleading for God's people. So when we come to God in prayer, it's like we are plugging into God's power source, which is the prayer and intercession of Jesus for us in heaven. And as we plug into that power, God's power flows to us. And it's much more that God wants to use us and get us to do what he wants than that we can manipulate God to get God to do what we want. So I'm moving quite quickly here. If you want to either have a question, you can jot it down for the end, or you can interrupt me, and I think that that won't interrupt the flow too much. I want to tell you about TARO. TARO. Totally available and radically obedient. And before I do that, I'm going to ask, do you really want to hear the voice of God? Not a rhetorical question. Do you really want to hear the voice of God? I know that some people are nodding slightly, pensively, going, where is Pastor Nathan going with this? The point is that if we hear the word of God, if we hear the voice of God, often God will ask us to change our lives or to take a step out in faith in response to what he is commanding us to do. Okay? So hearing the voice of God is awesome. It's exciting. It's wonderful. But it comes with a cost. And the cost is being obedient to what it is that God is telling you. Okay, we heard that in the prophet Amos. Okay, Amos's prophecy, his hearing and speaking of the word of God, came at great personal cost to him. We hear it in the story of John the Baptist, who was obedient to God and spoke out against the Herod and the wicked things that he was doing, and literally lost his head for it. Okay? So it's the best life there is. It's the most exciting thing to be tuned into the channel of heaven and to be hearing the voice of God and what he wants us to do. But it also means that what God wants us to do will often involve us stepping out in obedience. I'm going to look now at a biblical example of that. And if you turn to Acts chapter 9, if you have the big Bible, it's on page 1100. All right, Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to get someone to read from verse 10 in Acts chapter 9, but just a bit of background, okay? There's this guy called Saul, and Saul is going around, he hates the Christians, he hates the church, he's going from house to house, he's dragging them off, putting them in prison, and he's persecuting them and is even part of them being killed, okay? But Paul is on the way to Damascus, another city where he's going to arrest the believers, and he meets Jesus. He sees a blinding light in the sky, and he's flat out on the ground, totally overwhelmed, and in that moment, he becomes a Christian, or he gets to know that Jesus is alive. All right, this is what happens next after Saul is blind, and he goes into the town of Damascus. From verse, someone can read from verse 9. Or maybe verse 8, actually. Thanks, Adrian.
Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt and stop there. Okay, Ananias is hearing the voice of God, all right? How exciting is that? It's really good. And that's what everyone should aspire to. But what does God say to Ananias?
The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore him.
Okay, so God actually asks Ananias to do something very challenging for him. We'll go on. Thanks, Adrian.
Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.
Okay, you see what Ananias is doing? He's going, are you crazy? Do you know who this guy is, God? Do you have any idea? He's the guy who's killing us. And you want me to go to his house? No, you've got it wrong. But God doesn't have it wrong. And he says,
the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
Keep going.
Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he learned his strength.
Okay, it's my conviction that for us as Christians, the Lord can speak in a way that is as clear as what he said here. Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. That God can give us directions that are that direct and that clear. Okay? However, totally available and radically obedient is what God is looking for, because God might ask us to do things that are very far outside our comfort zone. Now, here is one man, Ananias, who, although he's initially hesitant about what God says to him, is actually, in the end, totally available and radically obedient. And what happens out of that one act of hearing God and obeying? Who does Saul become? He becomes the greatest apostle. He becomes Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who takes the good news of Jesus into the rest of the known Roman world, who writes most of the books in our New Testament. That's what God can do with someone who's totally available and radically obedient. God can change the world, and he wants to, in fact, change the world through his people as we hear his voice and do what he wants. Okay. So, I hope you're not scared, because God is still good. God knew what he was talking about to Ananias. He knew what needed to happen for Saul. And God knows what he's talking about when we hear his voice. So, how do you hear the voice of God personally? Now, I'm going to give you some personal examples, but I want you to know that it happens in various different ways at different times for each of us, okay? So you definitely shouldn't judge yourself by my experience and go either, oh, I'm much better at hearing the voice of God than Pastor Nathan, or, oh, that's never happened to me, so I must not be a good Christian, okay? These are just examples from my experience, because that's what I know, and that's what I can share with you. First of all, ask, are you in a right relationship with God? How's your reception? Okay, are you listening to God? Are you immersed in his word? In Psalm 24, it says, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in his holy place? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 24. Okay, so if there is some habitual sin or something in your life where you are not radically obeying God, that can get in the way. It can block our reception of God's voice. And I know that in my own life. Okay, it's much harder to hear God when my mind is distracted by other things. Okay, first of all, it's good to ask. Ask God. Yeah, it might be good to go and find out what's happening there too. Oh, okay. We've got two mums and, yep, should be all right. It's good to ask God. God, what are you saying? Holy Spirit, what would you like me to hear? Here I am, I'm available, I'm willing to be obedient, and I know that you speak. What are you going to say to me? And when you do that, you may get an answer or a picture or the voice of God in various different ways. Okay? Sometimes you will get a visual image of something. And this, you can see that this happens with the Old Testament prophets, okay? Amos saw a plumb line. Does anyone know what a plumb line is? It's a builder's line that has a weight on the end that they use to tell whether something is straight. Okay, should I keep going? Yeah. Okay, so Amos saw a picture of a plumb line, and God was saying, I'm going to measure my people and see if they are still upright and righteous. This has happened to me. I've got sometimes had pictures of things, and I go, God, I have no idea what that's about. Please tell me more, show me more. And God will often unfold that. You may get a word or a phrase, maybe peace or pray. Kathy and Yvette and I were praying the other day, and the word came, stay. And I'm not going to unpack that for you, but it had meaning for us. You might get an impression, okay? God might give you an impression of something that you need to do or someone that you need to see. And it might be just a kind of a background sense that, you know what, I think I really need to talk to this person, or I really need to talk or do this thing. You may get conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, okay? God may show you that there is something in your life that is not pleasing to him, and you may indeed, as some of the prophets did, end up on your knees or on your face saying, God, forgive me. Here's a really good one. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring to mind passages of Scripture. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Okay? Or, you know, peace be with you. Or something like that. And that is definitely the Holy Spirit at work, and it is us hearing the voice of God through remembering the Word of God. I'm going pretty quickly through this, so if you do have questions, please, we might stop after this section and then go on to the still small voice of God. Sometimes, for me, God brings to mind Christian songs. I was going through a really difficult time a couple of months ago, and the song that came to mind was one that I've actually played a couple of times in worship. And just the refrain is, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Now, is that the voice of God? Of course it is. You know, God uses that kind of stuff to help us to understand and listen and tune in to what he's saying. In fact, in Colossians 3, verse 16 to 17, and I'm going to turn to that one and read it. It says, Colossians 3, verse 16 to 17, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, so a couple of times recently, I've woken up with the lyrics of the song we sang last week, Glory Be to God, in my head. How nice is it to wake up with a song in my heart that comes from the Holy Spirit, that is the voice of God, and that really encourages me? Okay, any question or comment at that point, because I'm going to get on to the still small voice of God next. But does anyone just want to comment on that to that point? Various ways God speaks might be different for you. Okay, don't judge your own experience by mine. Okay, Pastor Nathan, but what about the audible voice? Like Ananias got, right? Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. What's that, God? I didn't quite hear you. You want me to go to Saul? No. Yes, we can hear the still small voice of God. And this is a really helpful thing from the Australian Prayer Network that I learned only a couple of months ago. When you ask, what are you saying, God? The first voice or impression is usually God. Okay, if you're in the Word, if you're in prayer, if you're asking God for what he's saying, the first voice is usually God. And it will usually be a challenge to step out or to do something or to bring you a word of encouragement. The second voice is usually the enemy. All right? Bringing doubt and saying, hey, did God really say that? No, that sounds a bit dangerous or dodgy or creepy or something. I don't think you should go there. Right? What happens with Ananias? No, Lord. You got it wrong. Okay? The third voice, first voice, second voice, third voice. The third voice is often your own, agreeing with the second voice. Right? Did I really hear God say that? That can't be right. That doesn't sound very comfortable or nice. No, I think it must not be God. It must just be me. Okay, so it's helpful sometimes to keep a journal, to write down those impressions and thoughts and maybe fully formed voices as they come to you. First voice, usually the voice of God. Second voice, usually the enemy. Third voice, usually your own going, yeah, God surely couldn't have said that. That can't be right. Okay, does that make sense? I think it's really helpful. It's not always the case. I want to give you a personal example. At the beginning of this year, Yvette and I went away for a week. No kids, it was a really nice break. And at the end of that week, we had a retreat day. We were down on the beach, we were spending some time in prayer and fasting and just hanging out with God. And I went for a walk with God. Well, I did actually. You know, we say that we're walking with the risen Jesus because we are. He's actually here with us. I went for a walk with Jesus down the beach, and I'm sure that Jesus said, Nathan, are you willing to do what comes next? Nathan, are you willing to do what comes next? And the Holy Spirit had put a song in my heart at that point, and the song was an old one from 20 years ago in my history that said, how could you say no to this man? Right? And so I said, okay, yes, Jesus, I'm willing to do what comes next. Not much idea about what it actually was that would come next, but yes, there's a conversation going on here. I'm willing to do that. Not a lot more there. God showed me a few more things, told me a few more things. But within just a couple of weeks of that event, I was hit by something really tough, really bad, really powerful, like a kick in the guts. And God said, Nathan, I knew this. I've got this. It's not easy, but I've got it. And so it's not just that God knew what was coming and the good things that would actually come out of that, but God knew that I needed to know that God knew. Does that make sense? The only way I could get through that next step was that I had actually heard God saying, are you willing to step into this? Now, here's the thing. God won't force us, okay? If we're learning to listen and we hear the still small voice of God and we say, I'm sorry, God, I just cannot go there. I do not have that level of trust at the moment. God's not going to punish you or harm you, or you're not going to lose your salvation in any way. He will just find someone else who is totally available and radically obedient, and you won't miss out on anything except the joy of participating in the good thing that God would have brought about if you had been obedient. Does that make sense? So God won't force us. If Ananias had gone, nope, that's it, no way, I'm not going, do you think that God's plan would have come to a grinding halt? No, God would have gone to the next person who was totally available and radically obedient. And Paul would have still been brought to faith in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the only thing you'll miss out on is not your salvation, it's not your relationship with God, but it is the joy of participating in the great thing that would happen when God says, do this thing. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Yep. I think it's really important when we hear the still small voice of God, or when we think we hear the still small voice of God, to test it. And I've got that last paragraph there, which has some ideas about knowing and discerning the voice of God. The personal voice of God has a tentative character, okay? It's not on the same level as Scripture. It's the voice of God for us. It's personal. It's not the voice of God for everyone, and it's not God's command for everyone. It needs to be tested. And so I know that it's very unusual to talk in these terms in a Lutheran church, but I am hesitant to say, God said to me. What I prefer to say is, I think this is what the Spirit is saying to me at the moment. All right, because God said to me can easily be used as a kind of a manipulative tool to get other people to do what I want. And then we've flipped the exercise again. But if I say, or if I can say, I think this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me, then I think that that's a more helpful way of approaching it. So how do we test it? We test it by Scripture. The voice of God will never say anything in contradiction to the Word of God. Okay? If you get some sort of voice that tells you something that is contrary to Scripture, then it's not the voice of God. You can seek wise Christian counsel. If you think that you're hearing something and you think it's okay to share that with someone, it's okay to go to another Christian and say, hey, I think the Holy Spirit might be saying this. What do you reckon? Does that add up? Is that consistent? Is that okay? And the Holy Spirit at work in God's people will help you to test it. If I obey this word, is a question, will it be harmful to me or others, or will it bring shame or embarrassment? God is not in the business of shaming people. He's not in the business of harming people. Although we could go into the stories of some of the Old Testament prophets and John the Baptist, for instance, and we could say, well, what happened there? And Jesus would reply, well, not a hair of your head will perish. You know, they may kill you, but they can't ultimately defeat you because your life is with God eternally. Sometimes the voice of God, the personal voice, the still small voice of God, is only for us. And it shouldn't actually be shared with anybody else. Okay? If it's meant to be shared with someone else, then God will also make that clear to you. And you will get confirmation of the fact that you're meant to share that with other people. One last comment on the connection between obedience and hearing again. Okay? Our obedience is not what saves us. Jesus saves us, and we live a life of faith and obedience in response to the salvation that Jesus brings us. But Jesus does say that if we obey him, if we listen to his voice and obey him, he'll actually unfold more for us. And that's particularly found in John chapter 14, verse 21. And it's written out in full there, and I'll get you to read that together with me, okay? So on the last page, point six, John 14, 21. Everyone got that? It's on your sheet there, Jess, if you want to. Okay, let's read that out together. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Okay, sorry for the non-inclusive language there, but I think you get the idea. Whoever obeys Jesus' commands, that's how we show our love for Christ. And then the Father loves those people. He loves everyone, actually, but he especially loves people who are willing to be obedient. And I too will love him or them and show myself to them. Jesus says, if you obey me, I'm going to open up even more of God's will, more of God's joy, more of God's purposes for you as you step into obedience in hearing the voice of God. Well, that's it for today. I hope it's not it for you. I hope that you are able to take what you are learning here and learn to hear the voice of God, however it comes to you, and even to hear that still small voice. Because God loves you very much, and he wants you to be in conversation with him, and he wants you to step into his purposes through listening and through obedience. Next time, we're going to have a look at hearing God's voice in community. How do we do this together as the people of God? And there's some really interesting stories that come with that as well, and putting it into practice. May you learn to hear the still small voice of God, and may you be totally available and radically obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.